You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In his most recent book, The Compassionate Mind, Dr. Donald Deffner tells the following story. A pastor was on his way home from the funeral of his dearest friend, a man who had died suddenly in his 30s. He was in O'Hare Airport, feeling very dejected. He wanted to talk to no one. A group of young evangelists began badgering him with questions about what he believed, was he saved, and so on. When he failed to respond with the phrases they wanted, they said in exasperation, "Oh, you pagan businessmen are all alike." To which he quietly replied, "Look, you don't even know where I'm at, what I'm going through. I am a Christian. And you may love your Jesus, but it's certain you don't love me." How do you react to that story? I can identify with that pastor. Personally, I don't like overly aggressive evangelism techniques. There are some well-meaning Christians who almost grab their victim by the throat and squeeze until the proper words come out. Dr. Martin Luther says that people should not talk about faith as though you wanted to uproot trees. Some people come on so strong when they talk about religion that all we want to do is get out of their way. There's another side, of course, there always is. And that side is that religious issues do need to be discussed at a personal level. Those young evangelists who accosted the pastor in O'Hare Airport had the right intentions. They wanted an individual person to think about some important questions and to come to know the truth. They just happened to go about it in a counterproductive way. Their aggressiveness, however, does not mean that religious questions ought not be discussed. They should be discussed. The simple reason for such discussion is that God is. God exists. I don't need to argue for his existence. Most people acknowledge God's existence. God is. The fact that you don't see him with your eyes doesn't mean he's not there. The fact that he sometimes seems to be silent when you would like to hear him speak some loud, audible words does not mean that he is not. God is. That simple fact is a challenge to you and me to think and to talk about God. In a proper way, of course. As Luther says, not as if we were about to uproot trees. God talk should be amiable, but challenging talk. Since no one knows everything about God except God himself, any serious discussion we have about God and his relation to people should be both humble and challenging. John the Baptizer was one person who made God talk challenging talk. He himself was a humble man. The Bible tells us that John wore clothes of camel's hair and had a diet of honey and locusts. This humble John didn't know everything about God, but he knew enough to challenge his listeners to examine their own lives and thoughts. I'm mentioning John the Baptizer because the calendar of the Christian Church marks today, June 24th, as the Nativity of John the Baptizer. St. Matthew tells how John challenged one group of people. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness of Judea and preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole Jordan Valley came out to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. He also saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism. He said to them, "You brood of poisonous snakes, who warned you to run away from the punishment waiting for you? Therefore, produce the works that show you have repented. Do not think that you can tell yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children for Abraham from these stones." Now those are some biting words of condemnation.
You brood of poisonous snakes.
That pastor in O'Hare Airport got off easily compared to what John told the Pharisees and Sadducees. There is, however, an important difference between the two cases. The pastor in the airport was thinking deeply about the ways of God with us humans. Remember, he had lost a friend who was only in his 30s. God was on that pastor's mind and heart in a very challenging way. The Pharisees were different than the pastor. The Pharisees had not let themselves be challenged to think about God and his ways. The Pharisees were religious, of course, but their thoughts about God were truly their thoughts about God. They believed in a God whom their minds had created. The God whom they had created was nothing more than a reflection of themselves. Confident of their goodness, spiritually superior to others, authorities not to be challenged, those were the Pharisees, and they made God after their own image. John knew what these Pharisees believed, and so he challenged them. He condemned their smug religion. You see, that's why this is different than the pastor who was accosted by the religious zealots. They didn't know anything about the pastor. John knew whom he was dealing with. He knew that he had to use his words like a crowbar to pry open their closed minds and challenge them to repent and see God the way God really is, a perfect being who far transcends our human thoughts and projections. How about you? When was the last time you were involved in a serious discussion about God and his ways? When was the last time someone said something about God and you said, that's something I need to think about? Or do you avoid religious discussions because they can be difficult? Or if you find yourself in a religious discussion, do you spend more time thinking of what to say next than you do listening? Can anyone honestly be smug in this world today? You have to be dense and unthinking not to realize how imperfect we humans are, how deficient we are in our true understanding of ourselves and of one another. And since God is, how foolish humanity is to be so occupied with so many things at a merely human level and not to give more thought to or discussion about God. God's existence and the situations of our sinful life should challenge us to think and to discuss Him. In 1932, Aldous Huxley wrote a novel, Brave New World. This is a fascinating book because Huxley peered into the future and ventured a guess about what society could become. Huxley's vision in 1932 is eerie because much of his fantasy is coming true today. Genetic engineering, free attitudes toward love, the dominance of sports, and so on. It's a book well worth your reading. In one scene from Brave New World, two characters named Bernard and Lenina are having a friendly conversation. Bernard is challenging Lenina to think. The author, Huxley, describes her response this way, "I don't understand anything," she said with decision, determined to preserve her incomprehension intact. She was determined to preserve her incomprehension intact. A closed mind. The Pharisees had closed their minds to the challenging questions of what God is really like, preferring instead to keep their own incomprehension intact. John the Baptizer used words of condemnation like a crowbar to try to open their minds to God. When your mind is open to God, then the goal is God's goodness in His Son, Jesus Christ. John the Baptizer's goal wasn't to condemn. His real goal was that his hearers put all their reliance in the God who is and who sent His Son into this world. John wasn't simply trying to tell people to go to hell, the way those zealots in the airport quickly dismissed the pastor who didn't ape the prescribed words. John's goal for his hearers was that their minds be pried open by their own sinfulness and open to God's coming in Christ. St. Luke tells us that John's preaching was a message of repentance to the forgiveness of sins. Two things there. First, repentance. That's when your mind has been opened to the fact that you are a sinner. Your God is holy, and therefore you stand condemned. When that happens, you have no other option than to say, "What should I do?" And indeed, that's what John's repentant hearers asked. "What should we do?" the crowds asked him. He answered them, "The person who has two garments should share with him who has none, and the person who has food should do the same." Some tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked him, "what should we do?" "Stop collecting more money than you are ordered to collect," he told them. Some soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" He told them, "Do not use threats or blackmail to get money from anyone, but be satisfied with your pay." While John gave different, specific answers to different people, tax collectors, soldiers, and the like, they are all aimed at people who know they are sinners and who have started to think about God's dealings with them. These people are not satisfied with any status quo, and so they ask in earnest discussion, "What should we do?" That's repentance, and that's the half of it. St. Luke says that John was preaching a baptism of repentance to the forgiveness of sins. That's the other half, and that's the best half. Here's where the God who is becomes the God who comes to you and to me and to every searching sinner in his Son, Jesus Christ. One day, the Bible tells us, John was preaching, and Jesus walked into sight. John pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Take a look, people, John said, and I'm repeating that message today. When your minds are open to thinking about your sinful status and God's relation to you, then look at Jesus Christ, who came into this world to bridge the gap between you and the holy God. He did that by his death on the cross, where he earned forgiveness for you being the sinner you are, and now he freely offers you a new way to see yourself. This new self-understanding for you is rooted in the reality that God, for the sake of his Son, has forgiven you and bestows life upon you. That's a new self-awareness, and it comes only from God. The Pharisees, as we saw, had a self-understanding rooted in their own smug opinions about God. The God who is comes to you in Christ and offers a new self-awareness, the knowledge that you are a sinner who has been saved by Jesus. As Jesus himself said, "God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. Getting his hearers to believe Christ and God's forgiveness, rather than receive the condemnation due smug sinners, was what John the Baptizer was about. Getting that message to you is what we at the Lutheran Hour are about. June the 24th is the day of St. John the Baptizer. Tomorrow, June 25th, is the 40th anniversary of the beginning of the Korean War. The North invaded the South, and 54,000 Americans were to die in a conflict that has not officially ended. That anniversary reminds us how much we need to seek God in this difficult life. We need to know God's words of condemnation. The Lutheran Hour is here to share those words. Teaching true doctrine means pointing out and condemning false doctrine. We are not here to pass out sweet sugary sentiments to make you smugly comfortable with yourself. Words of condemnation are not really our words, our insights. They are words that we pray will expose the falsehoods of our age. They are words that come from the Bible, from God's true word. His word and our broadcasts are intended to open all our minds to our need for God's help. Soldiers fight for nations. Our cause is to crowbar open smug minds with God's law. When we reach you, a listener who knows your sin and asks, "What should I do?" then our mutual task is the goodness of God. We speak it, telling you through our broadcasts of God's coming to help you in Christ, and you hear it. In speaking and hearing of Christ, God's Spirit moves you and me from condemnation to the life of faith. Though the Korean War was not followed by a peace treaty, though the 38th parallel remains a tense place, the gift of faith in Jesus Christ provides a peace that people need today as much as in the days of John the Baptizer. I pray that the gospel will pass from your ears to your heart, and from your heart to your lips and life. You hear about God's presence in Christ. You think about it. You talk about it. You seek more and more of the goodness of God. You will be driven, I hope, to talk with others about God and humanity, about sin and forgiveness, about the present and the future. You will be like that pastor in O'Hare Airport, not like the stormtroopers who attacked him. The pastor was quite dejected, as we all are from time to time. But he knew that he was a Christian, not because of his own life, but because of the merits of Christ his Savior. This Christian, this dejected Christian, was thinking about the ways of God with us, his children. He spoke his thoughts sincerely, not aping prescribed words. That, I hope, is what this program will always help you to do. Not grab you by the throat and force you to give certain answers, but rather to confront you with the fact that God is, and that God comes to you in Christ, and to set you to think and to talk about God. Amen.